was doomed yesterday. I was really nervous after I made that message the day after Election Day. I thought, oh man, I'm going to really tick some people off. And it's unusual for me, Martin Zender, to be concerned about offending people, because I basically tell it like it is. People want me to tell it like it is. I exist to tell it like it is. People trust me to tell it like it is. But sometimes when I tell it like it is, I get told how it is. And I did get told how it was. I was inundated with wonderful emails. People said, yes, finally, somebody's saying exactly what needs to be said. So I appreciate those of you who took the time to send in good emails after my message, post-election message. Thank you very much. Now, there are a lot of people who are depressed after the election. I was depressed for about 12 hours. In fact, I woke up at 3 a.m. like, holy smokes. I remember the exact feeling when Bill Clinton won the election in 92 over Bush 41. It was like I was waking up to a different world. You know, I think that was really the, Bill Clinton was the mark where we went away from, you know, your standard issue, good old fashioned grandfatherly president who fought in a war, you know, and the old school. That's the best way I can say it. We went from that to a saxophone playing playboy who, you know, the president who appeared on Saturday Night Live. Now we have Obama, of course, who is on all the talk shows, and he's the celebrity in chief, really. So we definitely have changed channels here in this country to movie stars, presidents as movie stars. I don't think it was always that way. The family has really taken a hit. The family is being broken up, and that's the fabric of society. Here I am sounding all old-fashioned, and but I can get teary-eyed talking about this because I was raised in a fantastic family. I was raised with love. I was raised with sanity. I was raised in peace. I lived in the same house for 20 years. There's a stability that people had in the old days. And the old days were 1962, 63. And something definitely happened in the 60s. I want to talk to you about this sometime. There was a spiritual convulsion in the heavens around Earth time, 1960. And I want to talk to you about that sometime, because I think it, well, we know what happens in heaven plays a huge role on earth. I had promised you to talk about the composure of Christ before Pilate. A lot of you need this message today, because a lot of you have lost your composure. A lot of you are depressed because of the way the election went. Other people are thrilled. Other people, they like centralized government. They, you know, like, what could go wrong with centralized government? What could go wrong with a king? What could go wrong with a one-world government? You know, one-world government. Does that sound like a happy thing to you? Well, in a reverse sense, it's a happy thing to me, because I know it is the beginning of the end, and I want to leave this planet. Thanks, it's been nice. I appreciate, you know, the great hospitality I've been shown here, but it's time to go. John 19:9. Let's go to John 19:9. Jesus entered the praetorium again, and Pilate entered the praetorium and is saying to Jesus, "Whence are you?" Now, there's a loaded question. Whence are you? Where are you from? I'd love to be asked that question. Well, I actually am. Like, where are you from, dude? Well, I am from another place. I am not from this planet. My source is celestial in nature. I am just visiting here. Take me to your leader. No, they will ask me, take us to your leader, because my leader is Jesus Christ. And not everybody's going to go back to him at once, but I'm waiting for that. So Pilate said this to Jesus, "Where are you from?" There was something about Jesus' behavior here that was so calm in the face of this. And look at this. We're gonna see this here in a second. Yet Jesus gives him no answer. Wow. What composure. Pilate then is saying to him, "To me you are not speaking. Are you not aware I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" Now, let's give Pilate his due. That is a huge authority. You know what the difference is between being crucified and being sent home? Oh my God. I have the power to strip you, scourge you, drive nails through your hands and feet, stick you on a stake, and leave you there until you die, or send you home so you can play cards with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. That is night and talk about polar opposites. And yet, what does Jesus say? Jesus answered him, verse 11, John 19, "No authority have you against me in anything." Stop right there. No authority have you in anything. What are you? You're saying this to this all-powerful Roman magistrate? I think that most people who appeared before Pilate, let's just say they were flustered. Let's just say they were peeing their togas or whatever. So Pilate recognized something in Jesus Christ that was rare and unusual. We have the very same spirit that Jesus Christ had. And imagine how we can now display to the world the calmness and the peace. It's like, where are you from? I mean, never forget my friend Matt Rohrbeck back in 1992, the year before I quit the post office. He was so upset. He'll laugh at this if he's listening. He was so upset about taxes. Taxes were just getting worse and worse. And he would try to rile me up about it. And he said, "Zender, don't you care that taxes are increasing? We're paying for all this government waste." And I was so calm about it. And I said, "Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." He was just like, oh my God, he'd roll his eyes and like, he just couldn't get over my peace. He was like, "Where are you from, Zender? Where are you from?" The same question Jesus got from Pilate. Where are you from? What planet are you from? That's a great question. We should be asked that question all the time. Because if we love Christ, we'll hate this world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. I think that's in Peter somewhere. Friendship with the world, maybe it's John. I don't know. Read the whole New Testament. You'll find it. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Where are you from? Well, I'm not from here. That's why I'm so calm. And that's what we're going to see from Jesus. "No authority have you against me in anything except it were given to you from above." No authority. You have no authority over me except it were given to you from above. So now Jesus is recognizing there's an absolute source for his current state of agitation, his current state of trauma. And this is a traumatic circumstance. Please understand that. Please put yourself in his place. The power of Rome was scary as hell. And here is Jesus saying that, well, your authority was given you from above. And this impressed Pilate. And I think this will impress everyone. See, Jesus actually exonerates Pilate in the next sentence. "Therefore," he says in verse 11, "he who is giving me up to you has the greater sin." And once again, Jesus is talking about, I don't think he's just talking about Judas here. I think he's talking about the Jews. That the Jews who give me up to you have the greater sin. And we find over and over again that Jesus had his real beef with the religious authorities, not the political authorities. We have Caiaphas versus Pilate. Jesus is deferential to Pilate. He's respectful. He's calm. He's acknowledging to Pilate that his power came from above. And in a sense, that should make really Pilate feel good, in a sense. Well, I don't know why he wouldn't. Forget the sense. Because Pilate would say, oh my God, he's saying that God has given me my power. Daniel did the same thing with Nebuchadnezzar. You know, that God gave you your power. If somebody told me God gave you your power, I wouldn't be insulted. I'd be like, wow, the creator of the universe put me where I am here in Rome? And I think Pilate was smart enough to think this. He was so impressed that he continually tried to get Jesus off the hook. "Therefore, he was giving me up to you has the greater sin." And that would be the priests. That would be the religions. Jesus turned the table, turned over the money changers' tables in the temple. Jesus took down the priests. He called them hypocrites and vipers and snakes. He didn't call Pilate any of that, did he? No. He saved his harshest comments for the priesthood. And that's where our beef is. Our beef is with the religions of this world. That's why I go after the religions. We should have no beef with the government. Even though the government stinks, even though the government taxes us unfairly, even though there are morons in control of the government, they are put there by God. And Jesus acknowledges this, and we should acknowledge this as well. Obama, let's take this to the last election. Yeah, that one we had a couple days ago. Obama has no authority over you except they were given to him from above. And Dan and I, when he gets back, if he gets back, we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 13, that there is no authority except under God. And no one has the power to take away your peace. Actually, and so let's apply Obama to the last part of verse 11. "Therefore, he was giving me up to you has the greater sin." People who voted for Obama have the greater sin, okay? A lot of you folks don't want mega government. A lot of you folks want freedom and free enterprise. You don't like communism. You don't like socialism. Some people do. Okay, well, that's your opinion. That's fine. You say, well, I didn't vote for him. How many bumper stickers did you see? You know, I used to see bumper stickers, you know, in the last election. I voted for McCain or whatever. So, all right, he who delivered Obama up to us, they have the greater sin, okay? But nevertheless, here we are. We're all under Obama as the president of the United States. So what are we going to do with that? We're going to stand peacefully. We're going to stand with our shoulders squared, our head up, and we're going to face Barack Obama, and we're going to say, no authority, you have no authority over me except it were given to you from above. And it was. Does Obama realize that? No. Is he going to realize that someday? You bet he is. But today, you can have peace knowing that your kingdom is not of this world. Oh, I wanted to get there today. John 18:36. You can go there on your own, but I'm going to touch on this on Monday. Even if Sheridan's here with me, I'm going to force him to talk about this. I'm going to say, we're talking about this. I don't care what you think, Sheridan. So we're going to go across the page, at least in my Bible, it's across the page of John 18:36. We got more peace coming here, peace by the boatloads. We have another great example of the composure and the peace of Christ. I'm still going to tell you what the word contended means in the Greek. It's a great word. We're going to get to that tomorrow. In the meantime, no one has any authority over you unless it were given you from above. Not your boss, not the governor, not the mayor of your city, and not the president of the United States. This is Mark Martin Center. I hope you have a great weekend, and I will be here again with you Monday.